Well, welcome everyone this morning. God bless you for being with us today. We thank everyone for being here and participating with us today. Today is the day of the Lord. Today we are so thankful that we're in the house of God. So even those of you online, thank you for being a part of us today. We appreciate it very much. So I have no announcements today other than the fact that we will be out of town all week. And I will be coming down Wednesday for church. So I'm taking my motorcycle up in the trailer so I can come home Wednesday night and be with all of you here. So I don't want to miss the opportunity to preach the Word of God. So just so you know. And don't be afraid to call on the phone if you have questions either, because I'm going to make sure my phone is available. And I may not hear it when you call. That means I'll get back to you as soon as possible. But guarantee you, I will get back with you. And so I'm trying to be, I don't want to say faithful. I'm trying to be more diligent about referring to my phone more than once a day. So if you have any questions about anything that we say today, please, you call and we'll talk about what you heard in the scripture. So I want to take you back to Luke, the 8th chapter this morning. Connie opened up today about how powerful the Word of God is. And one thing that we should all be on the fringe of knowing deep within is that the Word from heaven is powerful. It is the embodiment of Jesus Christ. It comes from the throne of God. And when it comes from the throne of God sent into your earth, it has power. It is sent to perform. It is sent to create you as a son of God. And so those things become the heart of God for his children. So when we hear the word of the Lord, that word is sent to deliver unto you that which you need. Who knows what you have need of today? God knows what you have need of even before you ask. And so the word that you receive from the Father is to meet the need of your heart. And you don't even know what that need is, but God knows. God knows. So one thing for sure, we don't want to look outward at the things of God. We want to look where? We want to look inward, because that's where God works within. Even in his son, Jesus Christ, did he work outward or did he work inward? He worked within. So what we're going to hear this morning is how that word, which is the seed from heaven, what it began to perform and how it performed it in such miraculous power. So we know in this 8th chapter, and I'm going to read it again. He gave them the parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow, and he cast his seed, and it fell on four types of ground. And three of those types of grounds, those grounds could not bear forth or bring forth the word of God in power because of how they heard it. And so it becomes imperative that the hearing of the word of God is one of the most distinct things in the scriptures when it comes to how the seed of God is retained in the heart. And so we want to hear it with an open mind. We want to hear it by faith, so that through faith, the works of God become manifest. Because without faith, works are dead. So faith comes from God. Faith is not something that we have in and of ourselves. Faith is a gift of God. It comes from heaven. So that when the word of God from heaven falls into the ground that is in you, faith, which generates the power to bring forth that seed, does it miraculously. And so I want to concentrate on some of that this morning for you. And we're not going to be long today, but we are going to be very purposeful today. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." Why did he tell that to his disciples? Why was it given to them to know the secrets of the kingdom of God? Because what did they have? What did they possess? They possessed faith in the word of God. That's what they possessed. That's why they were disciples. So what are you today? It's been prophesied that you are also a son of God. And we know from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, that God calls us his sons, right? So it becomes important then to understand that in the prophecy of sonship, that I have been given faith by the Father in heaven to receive the word of God, that the word of God can bring forth the purposes of God within. Very important for us to understand. And so in the creation of God then, how does that creation begin in me, and what is it that God hath intended for me to be? Well, we know that God has intended for us to be his children, his sons. That's God's intent. And what does a child of God look like? Does he look like me in the flesh, or does he look like the Father in heaven? Which is it? He looks like the Father in heaven. Isn't that the intent of God from the beginning, that he created Adam in his own image? And it's amazing for us to begin to allow the Word of God to create in us the image of God from heaven. That's a very powerful principle. So the parable is this: the seed is the Word of God. Now I want to come down. I'm not going to read all that. I'm going to come down to verse 40. Now all through, remember this, God, Jesus, when he began to teach the parable, he said the seed is the Word of God. And it's hard for us to remember sometimes that what God hath given us through the power of his word, we know that the word is Jesus Christ. Anybody that does not know that the word is Jesus, the word is Jesus Christ. That's who he is. That's what he is, the one that's been sent to perform all the works of God through faith in you. So it becomes very valuable and very essential for us to understand that this Jesus Christ who has been sent, he has been sent to take away the sin and the iniquities of every world that turns to him, that turns to God. So now Jesus is going into the crowd and he's beginning to make himself known through the work, through many miracles. So let's listen for just a moment. Now when Jesus returned to the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. For he had a daughter, who about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And Jesus went, and the people pressed around him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. First of all, I want you to understand that a discharge of blood is not what we think it is in the flesh. A discharge of blood is a work of iniquity or a work of a troubled spirit in the heart and in the mind that causes us not to accept or understand or be healed of the Father. It's very important for us to understand that, because we are talking about spiritual things, not about physical things. So this woman, this issue of blood that this woman had, was a work of a spirit within her that was causing her not to remember who she was in heaven, not to remember who she was in the Father. And it becomes important for us to hear and understand that these things exist within ourselves. We're not talking about a history book here. We're talking about a book of life that God has enveloped in each and every one of us, so that he himself is known. And that's why the Word of God becomes so very powerful in each and every one of us, is because the story that we read, or the word that we read, even in the Scripture, becomes the story that God has planted in our hearts, so that we begin to know and understand who we are in the Father and have always been in the Father. Now, it has been said here many times that who we are here is a condition. What's the condition? Why are we here? What happened? Okay, we disobeyed from the beginning. And what happened? Why did we disobey? What caused us to disobey the Word of God? We forgot. We received the Word from heaven in a wrong ground, and we forgot that we were sons of God before. So it becomes important for us to know that this Jesus Christ, whom has been sent of the Father, has been sent to restore or bring us to repentance so that we might once again be made whole in life or in the hearing of the Word of God, and not to forget. Because in death, there is no remembrance. We can't remember in death. And so, in this life, what is it that we're always struggling to remember? The Word of God. In fact, we let this life rob us from the aspects of the Word of God, or the power that the Word of God was sent to birth us back into the mind of the Father, or into our mind. So it becomes important for us then to remember these things. And so this woman who was following Jesus with an issue of blood, what began to work in her? She began to do what? She began to believe that this Jesus, if she would just touch the hem of his garment, what would happen to her? She would be healed. So the crowd begins to press around Jesus, and this woman reaches up and touches the hem of his garment, and immediately, what happens to the issue of blood, or what happens to the spirit that was troubling her? It's gone. It's over with. And here's the thing that becomes very effectual in it. As soon as she touched the hem of his garment, what did Jesus know? He knew that somebody had touched it. How did he know? Because the righteousness of who he was went out of him and into her. Faith, which is the works of God, had caused the righteousness of God to flow from Christ into her. That's why the Bible says in the book of James that faith without works is what? It's dead. These parables that Jesus begins to set forth in the Gospels, listen, it's about causing the faith that he has given to you, about causing it to begin to work, so that every time you draw near unto the Christ, faith begins to work, and it begins to draw from Christ the righteousness of all that God is, flow into you and cause your mind to receive the healing power of God. Now, that's not talking about healing your physical body. It's about healing the body, or healing the thought that you were with the Father from the beginning. That's why the Bible says that when Jesus speaks, he says, I am the beginning and I am the end. I am he who mediates between you and the Father, and when you touch me, the righteousness of God flows out of me into you, and your mind, the aspects of your mind that you believed, are beginning to be made whole once again by the power of the Word of God. And you begin to see differently. Now that is the greatest work of repentance that we can receive in our life. Repentance is not standing and saying, forgive me, Lord, for doing this or forgive it or doing that. Repentance is receiving the righteousness of the Father and in our minds beginning to see who we were from the beginning and coming back to it. We call it turning to God, right? I see who I was before. Now the Word of God, I have received the Word of God, and it is causing me to turn from that and turn to God, turning back to who I was in the Father from the beginning. It's an incredible work. And so it's marvelous to know that within us, we have the mediator, the man Christ Jesus, mediating between us and the Father by the Holy Ghost to bring us back into the remembrance of who we were in the beginning with God. Thus, what we've been laying the emphasis for the last several weeks on in the church, the body of Christ, we can now begin to see and understand the place that was ordained for us from the beginning and find our place in the church, in the body of Christ. So then everything that Jesus speaks begins to be applicable to the heart. So in John, the 14th chapter, I'll just turn there. Hear it this way. Let not your hearts be troubled. So when we don't understand the word of God, what's the condition of the heart? It's troubled. If it's troubled, then who do we need? We need Jesus. We got to have some Jesus, right? And we will be troubled in the heart many times because there are many things that will live within us that need to be healed of the Lord. And this becomes the awesome place for us to walk when we walk by the light of His Word. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. This is the intercession. This is the mediation of God for you. This isn't just some prayer that's in the scripture. This is how even now Jesus is mediating for you as a son to come into the place that he made for you through the gospel of himself. It's very powerful. And we take it for granted because we have it in scripture and we don't understand the work of it within by the Holy Ghost. And yet, the power of the Word of God is in the Holy Ghost. And without the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it, without the power of the Holy Ghost, we are troubled in our hearts. Now, here's what happens to us a lot of times, is that we hear the Word of God, and the first thing we do with it is what, John? We put it outward. How do we do that? What does that mean to put it outward? Okay, we reason it ourselves. And through the reasoning of it ourselves, what does that do to the word that was sent from heaven? It defiles it. It changes it. It changes it from heaven to earth. You think that was the will of the Father? No. And so then as that word begins to grow in us, what kind of fruit comes from it? What kind? How about wrong? Wrong fruit. Yeah, wrong fruit comes from it, right? It begins to bring forth thoughts of reason to where we assimilate it after the likeness of man and not after the likeness of God. So Paul lays a great emphasis about this. I wanted you to go to Romans, the first chapter with me. Now, I'm going to lay some groundwork here in this chapter because verse 1 through 17 lays the emphasis of the righteousness of the Father. 18 through 33 talks about how the word is received by the mind of man and not by the Spirit of God and what it produces. And so Paul is very eloquent. And I don't like to use that word because we think of it in a specific way. But he is. He's very forthright and very eloquent about how he separates how we receive the Word of God in righteousness and how we receive the Word of God in our own reasoning or in our own mind. And so the difference between them is glaring. It should be a great teaching for us. So when Jesus came and began to speak in parables that the seed is the word of God, and as he laid forth that seed and it began to disperse in mankind, in the minds of man, the separation between the righteousness of God and the works of the carnal mind, it began to separate the two. So Connie spoke it this morning in Genesis. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and it began to separate the light from the darkness. What's the darkness? The darkness is the place where you hide from God, not knowing what you've done. So what did Adam do when he knew that he had sinned? What did Adam do? He hid from God. He no longer communed with the Father. That's what we do. We hide from God. We don't communicate around the Word of God. And the communication that we have around the Word of God is essential to who we are as sons, essential to who we are in the prophecy of Jesus Christ. And so it becomes great for us to hear it. I thank God, verse 8, through Jesus Christ for you all, for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in the world. Wow. So if I have faith and the Word of God is coming and faith is embracing the Word of God, then I have a proclamation to make of the love that I've received in Jesus Christ. True or not true? Very true. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you, always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may know at last, that I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. Now, every imparting of the Word of God is to impart to you a spiritual gift. Every word is to impart a spiritual gift in you. In other words, that gift that's being imparted is mind-changing. It's changing a thought in you that is against God, bringing it to repentance, reforming it, and casting it in the image of the Father. That's power. That's power. That's why we believe. Because now the faithfulness of God is working in the seed that was given to reshape a thought in you back to the image of who you were in the beginning with the Father. That's why the gospel of Jesus Christ becomes inherently everything that we need to be changed. It takes us from being an old creature or a former man and brings us into a new creature or a new man. Just as it speaks about in the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, it talks about Adam becoming who? The Lord from heaven. Wow. I want you to, we've got to begin to think about the processes that God hath initiated through the Word of God, through the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, that can take an Adam who failed in the Word of God and bring him forth as the Lord from heaven. A complete resurrection by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring an Adam to a Jesus Christ. Wow. Because that's the story of God in you and what it is performing in you even in this hour as we speak it. And yet, we don't even understand the fullness of what Jesus is mediating by his word in each and every one of us, even now. But it is there. These things are awesome. For as I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you. Now, depending on how we hear it, we may not understand it or not. Sometimes we have to hear it many times and in many parables within ourselves to understand the word that has been sent from heaven to change us. So it has been, I received a word from the Lord when I was 24 years old. But the power of the word that I received has just in the last several years made itself known. Even though it changed my life when I was 24 years old, but the power that God was speaking in it to restore me back into the likeness of himself is just now being made manifest. That's 40 some years. But God's eternal. God doesn't deal with time based upon our thought of time. He is eternal. So, for I am not ashamed, I'm skipping several verses to get to here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, it becomes important for us to understand. Salvation is not you standing before a group of people and declaring that Jesus is the Christ and that you're now saved and getting baptized and all those things that we've always done. Your salvation is a procedure or a work of life in you where you're being regenerated in every thought to become the Son of God. That's your salvation. Your salvation is returning to the Father in heaven as His Son. That's your salvation. And so every word from heaven that you are receiving in your life today is in the process of saving you and declaring you to be the Son of God. Wow. That's the process of it. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, where I am today, I hope I am not tomorrow when it comes to the understanding of the Word of God. My faith is going to make me whole. My faith is progressive. It's endearing to God. Just like in Abraham, when God counted Abraham righteous, right? He said Abraham had faith, and he made him the father of faith, did he not? But was there a progression in Abraham that established Abraham in the Father eternally? So the faith that Abraham had to believe God, where did it lead him in his life? Did he not take the promise of the Father, his son Isaac, put him on an altar, raise a knife over him? How could he do that if faith wasn't ever present and ever working? And he believing the Word of God. Because God told him, you take the lad up, we're going to go up on this mountain and we're going to make a sacrifice. And Abraham, in his mind, he was questioning God, well, where's the sacrifice? And God said, bind the lad, lay him on the altar. Well, where's the sacrifice? And yet, in obedience to the Word of God, he raised the knife. And yet, God stayed the hand and provided the sacrifice. Who's the sacrifice that God provided for you today? It's Jesus Christ. God was pointing Abraham to Jesus Christ. God is pointing you to Jesus Christ. And every work of faith in you, by the word of his power, by the gospel of Jesus Christ, is pointing you to the Son of God. Now listen to this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppresses the truth. So let's go back to this woman in the parable. What was working in her? And she knew it. What was working her? Unrighteousness. There was a spirit that was suppressing the truth in her and had been for 12 years. And she knew if she just touched Jesus, it would be taken away. It's the same with us. Wednesday night, I literally besought the Lord for all of you that you would not counsel your own minds. And I'm going to say it again today. Because if we counsel our own minds, we will enter into unbelief. We will enter in, we'll have a war in our minds against the truth. It will hinder us from coming into the place that God hath made for us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We just read in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And as long as we are willing to counsel our own minds, we will not find that place. We are not capable of it. We need Jesus Christ and the power of faith and the working of the Holy Ghost. That's our possession. That's the promise of the Father. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Is that talking about you? That is talking about you. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, what happened to them? They became fools. Where else did we hear that? Did we hear that recently? If you went back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you could read it again. And I encourage all of you, because your reading assignment before we started this whole series was the book of 1 Corinthians and the book of Ephesians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it laid the emphasis of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that without it, well, we know it this way, that through wisdom, men learned not to honor God. They canceled their own mind in their own wisdom, and through it, they learned not to honor God. Do you think we have those manifestations before us today? I believe that we do. And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, animals, and creeping things. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Because, listen to this now, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Wow. So now, let's go back to the hearing of the parable then, shall we? To the hearing of the Word of God. I opened up saying that it becomes imperative that we learn how to hear the Word of God and hear it as the Word from heaven and not just a scripture out of the Bible. That is not taking anything away from Scripture. But we need to learn how to hear Jesus Christ, the Word from heaven. And that when we learn to hear that Word from heaven, it will change us forever. It will cause us to know who we were in the beginning with the Father. And the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost will bring to our remembrance all things. Everything that the Father ever said to us from the beginning, it will be made known. I'm going to go back to John. Now listen to this. Verse 1, John 16 and 1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. Thank goodness for the Holy Spirit, right? Or does maybe our sin hinder us from believing it? It certainly does. In fact, you have been told you have the Holy Spirit, right? But why is it that we fixate on the flesh and don't allow the Holy Spirit to describe in us who we are in the Father? And as soon as we focus on ourselves, what happens to that word we received? Yeah, it goes out. It's gone. And we go right back into death or no remembrance. So I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming, and whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. Amen? How many of you have seen that spirit working within yourself? This is why I beg you to call, because the fellowship of the word that we have received is paramount to the understanding being described within as the Son of God. Is paramount. Without the fellowship of the Word of God, we are nothing. And we have no remembrance of who we are in heaven and where we came from. I was not birthed by my mother, Barbara. I was birthed in the beginning by the Father himself. Verse 3. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me, but have said these things to you. When their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. Okay, so when Jesus started out with his disciples, right? He didn't say these things to them because they couldn't receive it. They were babes. They could not receive it. Now he's getting ready to do what for them? He's preparing them because he's what? He's going away. Now the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to become manifest. He's going to go away. But when he goes away, he's already told them what's going to happen. What's going to happen? He's going to send them a comforter. He's going to send them the Holy Ghost to bring them the remembrance of every word that he's ever spoken. That's awesome. These things are so powerful. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. So, when you receive the Holy Ghost, what do you begin to be able to do? What's the conviction that comes into the heart? Do you know the difference between sin, righteousness, and judgment by the Holy Ghost? That's what it was sent to perform. So that now the Son of God, in all of his glory, is being made known in you. Did Jesus judge himself after the sin? He had no sin. But did he judge anyone else after sin? The answer is no. He judged no man after the flesh. So then how did he judge them? Well, he says it purely. I don't even judge myself. For the truth that I am has judged me already. So how are you judged? By the truth that makes you free. That's how you're judged. By the truth that makes you free. Free from what, Frankie? Free from sin and death to become the Son of God. That's awesome. And so the Bible says that which is mortal puts off immortality, puts off the mortalness of it, and takes on what? Immortality. It puts off corruption and takes on incorruption. So you're no longer an old man, you're now a new creature or a new man after the likeness of God. Only the gospel, only a word understood, can take you into the performance of faith. To bring you into the working of it all. That's powerful. And so, we've covered a few things this morning, quickly. But I hope that you'll all go back and go into the scriptures that you received today, and that you will let the Word of God begin to ascribe into your mind and your heart who you are, by the powerful working of faith through the working of the Word of God. And let God begin to show you the Son that he had made you to be from the beginning, and that you believe and become it. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you today.